Whether we like it or not, life is full of decisions that we have to make, one after the other. Every single day, there are some decisions that we have to make. This one or that one, here or there, now or later, the big one or the little one, the green or the blue, yes or no, who to vote for. There's always decisions to make. Now, some people hate to make decisions. They believe that if they do not make any decision, they are safe and they won't be blamed. So they try to remain neutral, safely in between, saying, my decision is maybe and that's final. But it is not that simple. Not making any decision is not a way to escape responsibility. Not making a decision is really making a decision, and it may be the wrong decision. I used to play tennis, and I do know that sometimes the ball is in your court. That means that the opponent has returned the ball back across the net into your side of the court. And what happens at this point in the game is up to you. Either you hit the ball back across the net, or you let the ball go by and you lose points in the game. But the decision is yours. You must make a decision. When a man named Adoniram Judson graduated from seminary, he received a call from a nice church in Boston to become the assistant pastor. Everyone congratulated him. His mother and his sister, they rejoiced that he could live at home with them and do his work for the Lord. But Judson shook his head and said, my work is not here. God is calling me beyond the seas. To stay here, even to serve God in his ministry, I feel would be only partial obedience, and I could not be happy in that. So although it cost him a great struggle, he left his mother and his sister to follow the heavenly call. And the fashionable church in Boston still stands, rich and strong. But Judson's many churches in Burma had 50,000 converts, and the influence of his consecrated life is felt around the world. He made the right decision, Burma or Boston. And Boston would have been easy. Burma was a bit more difficult, but he made the right decision. This morning in our text, we will see that even in spiritual cases, there is no such thing as maybe. We will see that there is no in between. We will take a look at a ruler who did not want to make a decision. And we will see other men who did not hesitate for a moment to make a quick decision, and they all made the wrong decision. May we learn today about making the wrong decision. So please turn to our text. We're still in the book of Luke. We're in chapter 23, verse 13, as we continue where we stopped last week. Chapter 23 is a very sad chapter. It has three parts to it. They're all sad. The first one is tried. The second one is crucified. And the third part is buried. We are still in the first part, the trial of Jesus. Pilate had tried to send Jesus back to the Sanhedrin council, saying that he found no fault in him, in verse 4. But his ploy did not work. The chief priest and the scribe insisted that the Roman governor ratify their decision. They wanted this man dead. Trying another escape, Pilate then sent Jesus to Herod, since Jesus came from Herod's jurisdiction. Verse 6. He wanted Herod to make the decision concerning Jesus. He would not have to make the decision. And even this did not work. For a long time, Herod wanted to meet Jesus. He had several questions for Jesus, but Jesus answered none of his questions. He had nothing to say to that man. So Herod, finding no reason to put Jesus to death, after mocking him, decided to send it back to Pilate. And this time, Pilate will try a third escape when Jesus comes back to him. He had another plan. He did not want to make a decision concerning Jesus. And he will end up making a decision, and it will be the wrong decision. So Luke continues the story of Jesus, and he says here in chapter 23, verse 13, then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him. And indeed, nothing worthy of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him. For it was necessary for him to release one of them at the feast. So poor Pilate, he was right back where he started from. He thought that he had solved this problem when he sent Jesus to Herod. But here was Jesus again in front of him. So he called back the religious leader who had brought Jesus to him in the first place, and he called the people this time. He wanted to make a public announcement. Why include the people at this time? Maybe because he thought that in the presence of all these people, the Sanhedrin council would not have the guts to insist on the crucifixion of that man. And then he made a statement in verse 14. I found no fault in this man. For the second time, Pilate repeated the same verdict that he had made earlier in verse 4. That this man was not guilty of anything. Jesus was examined and no fault was found in him. And this is very significant. There were no spot nor blemish nor anything that could cancel his claim of sinlessness. Only the sinless could save sinners. And it is important for us to know that Jesus was without sin. In his heart, Pilate knew that our Lord should be acquitted. Luke does not mention what his wife Claudia did. But Matthew tells us in Matthew 27, 19. He says, while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a note saying, have nothing to do with that just man, for I suffered many things today in a dream because of him. So Pilate was under tremendous pressure. He was trying to listen to three voices. The voice of his wife, Claudia, saying, have nothing to do with this just man. The voice of the whole group, the whole assembly, saying, put this innocent man to death. And the voice of his conscience telling him that Jesus was innocent. He was wrestling with these three voices. He tried real hard not to pass sentence on Jesus, but it did not work. It seemed like Pilate really tried not to condemn Jesus, but he was forced. He was intimidated, or he was threatened to do it. And he made the wrong decision. According to Jewish history, for those of you history buff, there's the book called The Antiquities of the Jews, and it gives you all kind of information during those days. And apparently Pilate had made two faux pas. Faux pas is a serious mistake in his government. The religious ruler had him on two things. Number one, when he first came to Jerusalem, his headquarters were in Caesarea by the sea. Beautiful place. I would have picked that one myself. His troops marched into the city carrying banners and little bust of himself, like Mozart, we've seen Beethoven, you know, little head. And he had that. He was giving that to the people. And it was an offense to the Jews, whose law forbade any graven image. Other governors had removed all images before marching into Jerusalem, but Pilate had refused to do it. And the crowds went to Caesarea. They requested he remove the images, but he refused. They stayed in Caesarea for 6 days. And on the sixth day, he came out and he informed them that they would be all put to death if they would not stop immediately. And they laid their neck on the ground. They were willing to die. And he realized that they were serious. So he backed down. And that could have cost him his job. And the number two is he decided to improve the water supply of Jerusalem. It's a good idea. It would be good. But he proposed to build it with the money of the temple treasury, the money that people had given to God. And again, crowds gathered to object. And Pilate instructed his soldiers to mingle with the crowds, wearing long robes over their uniform. And soldiers used more violence than instructed, and many people lost their lives that day. Abuse of force is nothing new. The Roman government would not tolerate such civil disorder. So if the Jews had reported these things to Caesar, Pilate would have been dismissed. And they reminded him by saying, John tells us in John 19, if you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. We got something we can tell Caesar. And it appears like they compelled him to sentence Jesus to death by holding the threat of reporting these things to Rome. If this historical account is true from history, then we have the unpleasant and the frightful truth that a man's past can creep up and confront him and even paralyze him. We see it in the life of Pilate. He sentenced Jesus to death in order to keep his job, in order to remain governor. His past forced him to become a coward. His past sins forced him to commit more sins in order to cover his past sin. What a terrible, vicious cycle sin can be. And this can also happen to born-again believers. We know that God has forgiven their sins when they confess and they repent. But their past sin can still creep up and confront them and even paralyze them. Then they are tempted to commit more sins in order to cover the old sin. And it is best to face the music, face the consequences of our sins, and not try to cover them. This way, we do not have to add sin to cover our sins. So Pilate justified his sentence in verse 15 by comparing his sentence with the sentence of Herod, sort of saying, just like me, Herod found this man not guilty of death. This was really the third proclamation that Jesus was not guilty. And this should have settled the whole thing. Both men in charge, Pilate and Herod, found him not guilty. Jesus should have been released and let go. But the Jews would not stop. They would not quit that easily. Instead of dismissing the case, Pilate offered a compromise in verse 16. I will have him whipped, hoping that that would satisfy them, and he would be able then to release Jesus. But what an inconsistency. If Jesus is innocent, then why chastise him? He's either innocent or he's not. Now, chastising was not scolding. Oh, don't do that again. That's not what we're talking about here. It meant whipping. The accused was tied to a post and whipped until he makes up confession for his sin. And Jesus had nothing to confess, and Pilate knew it. He had said three times that he had found him not guilty. So Pilate was compromising. He was willing to hurt a man to please a group, please the people. Pilate was getting desperate in verse 16. He was anxious and eager to get rid of the case regarding Jesus. He saw an opportunity to reach his goal. They had a tradition to release one prisoner as a sign of goodwill towards the nation during the feast of Passover. Luke does not give us much detail. Mark does when he tells the story in chapter 15. He tells us that Pilate gave them a choice between two men, Jesus or Barabbas. And he thought for sure that there would not be a problem in making a decision. The choice was between Jesus, an innocent man, and Barabbas, the worst, dangerous criminal they had. And he was sure that they would pick Jesus. The other one was a terror. They would not want that loose in the city. He was wrong. They picked the criminal. Luke goes on and says in verse 18, and they all cried out at once. They screamed, saying, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain insurrection, rebellion, made in the city, and for murder. Not a choir boy, a criminal. He had killed people. In no time, the people chose Barabbas, not Jesus. Barabbas means son of father. Even though that man had been proven guilty of murder and Jesus proven innocent of anything, still they wanted the criminal to be freed and the innocent to be dead. Now, what prompted the people to make this choice? We don't know. We are not told. But maybe it was the triumphal entry a few days back. The Jews had hope for a political Messiah, a strong man who would deliver them from the power of Rome. Not a meek and lowly man who wept and predicted that some coming punishment on Jerusalem, chapter 19. So maybe it was that particular thing that prompted the people to make that choice. Or maybe it was Pilate. He was trying real hard to release Jesus. And they were not about to please this man, knowing that he hated them. They hated Pilate. Or it could be the Sanhedrin. In the temporary absence of Pilate to read the message from his wife, they started to influence the people and to ask the release of Barabbas. So they would go in the crowd and, "Don't ask for Jesus, ask for Barabbas. Shout Barabbas, we're all in this." And they influenced the people. Whatever the reason, the people made the wrong decision. And Luke continues and says in verse 20, "Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' And he said to them the third time, 'Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.' But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priest prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for insurrection and murder had been thrown into prison, but he delivered Jesus to their will, to please the people." Again, Luke here abbreviates the story. When Matthew tells us the story in Matthew chapter 27, you can turn if you want. We have four verses there, 21 to 25. Matthew tells us that the governor answered and said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they all said to him, "Let him be crucified." Then the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out all the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could not prevail at all, but rather that a tumult was raising, he took water and he washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. You see to it." And all the people answered and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." What a sad thing to say. So Pilate confirmed one more time here that Jesus was innocent. And he tried to get their consent to release Jesus, but their decision was made. They did not want Jesus. Their choice was Barabbas. And then he asked a good question. "What then shall I do with Jesus?" He had tried at least four times to avoid this question. A very important question that cannot be passed off to others. Still today, people try to pass off this question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" Each and every person in this world must answer this question for themselves. Each must determine what he is going to do with Jesus. Each of us, like Pilate, have to decide what we are going to do with Jesus. And there are only two possibilities. Number one, either a person accepts him and walks with him, or the person rejects him. Not to accept him is to reject him. There is no in between. Not to say yes to him is to say no to him. Jesus had said earlier, "He who is not for me is against me." So it's one or the other, no in between. A woman cannot be a little pregnant. She is or she is not. A man cannot be a little dead. He is or he is not. And we cannot be a little for Jesus. We are or we are not. There is no neutrality when it comes to Jesus. Pilate was looking for neutral grounds, but Jesus does not allow any. No one can be neutral. Everyone must take a side. Everyone must take a position concerning Jesus. If we are not for him, then we are against him. If we have not received him, then we have rejected him. If we don't confess him, then we are denying him. Each human being must make his own decision concerning the issue. It cannot be avoided. It cannot be escaped. Indecision is a decision. Those undecided about Jesus have decided against him. Whatever decision we make concerning this, it will affect our destiny. We decide our eternal destiny by the decision that we make with Jesus. Whether to confess him or deny him, to receive him or reject him. A big decision indeed. Deciding where we will spend eternity. In the kingdom of God or in the kingdom of darkness. God does not send anyone to hell. He does not want anyone to go there. A person must choose to go there. It's the person's choice. The person decides and chooses to live for God and with God or not. Quite a decision to live with God or live without God. The person determines his own eternal destiny. God accepts and respects all choices made. He does not and will not override the person's decision. The choice is life or death. And for whatever reason, so many people choose death. Notice in verse 21. It made no difference if Jesus was guilty or not. The people shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." It made no difference what Pilate had said, made no difference what Herod had said. They wanted him dead. They wanted him to die the worst kind of death. They refused to be satisfied with a little punishment, little whipping. They insisted on the crucifixion. And for the third time, Pilate confirmed that Jesus was not guilty in verse 22. And when Pilate asked why, what has he done, the people could not even give him an answer. Their demand was totally unreasonable. Totally illogical. What has he done? I don't know why he should die. Does not make any sense. There are people today totally irrational when it comes to Jesus Christ. You can talk with them and talk to them about anything under the sun. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, they go wild, totally irrational. Don't talk to me about that. It's amazing the effect that Jesus has on some people. Pilate added, "I have found no reason for death in him." Several times, God made sure that this was repeated for us. Later on, one of the two criminals crucified with him. One will also confirm that Jesus had done nothing wrong. And it was for our sin that he was put to death. Nothing else. God laid on him the iniquities of us all. And again, Pilate offered the same compromise in verse 23. I will chastise him. I will hurt him. And then I'll let him go. But they were insistent. I mentioned earlier that Pilate was wrestling with three different voices of his wife, of the assembly, and of his conscience. Sadly, the voice of the people won. He did not listen to the voice of his wife. Few men do. And he did not listen to the voice of his conscience. How many people have suffered tremendous consequences because the voice of the people have prevailed over the voice of their own conscience? Quite a wrong decision. Pilate gave in to their request in verse 24. He allowed what he knew was wrong. Justice did not prevail. The choice of the people did. Like today, justice does not always prevail in our system here. Influence prevails. So this pronouncement made by a judge who again and again had declared that Jesus was innocent was the most shocking distortion of justice ever recorded in history. You talk about injustice. A murderer was released and set free, and an innocent man was condemned to death. Things like this still happen today. There will not be justice on this earth until the Lord Jesus himself returned to this earth. Now, Luke may say that Pilate delivered Jesus to the will of the people in verse 25. But we know that it was the will of the Father for Jesus to go to the cross. Remember in the garden, Jesus prayed and asked if there is another way. And then he submitted to the will of the Father. It was the Father's will for Jesus to die on the cross so we would know how much he loves us and for God to forgive our sins. One last thing. I wonder what went on in the mind of Barabbas when he saw Jesus on the cross after he was released, knowing that he was guilty. He was loose. The man was dying there. I wonder if he said, "He hangs where I should be. I am saved by his death." We should all say that. This is exactly what Jesus did for all of us. But what a story. When Jesus was first brought to Pilate, Pilate did not want to make a decision concerning him. He decided to send him to another man, Herod. But Jesus came right back and stood again in front of him. He had to make a decision. Now, John Robertson tells the story of a young soldier from Glasgow who was talking to a friend while another Glasgow soldier was carried to his last resting place. It was during the funeral. And he was pleading with him to come to Christ. The young man was impressed, but he said, "Jack, I will be a Christian when I leave the service." He had only 9 months left to go. And he said again, "I am determined to be a Christian when I leave the service." That was his decision. The next week, orders came for the 79th Regiment to embark for Egypt. And the two friends were in the march across the sands of the Arab encampment of Tel El Kebir. They were marching side by side, one with salvation in his heart and the other putting it off till he would leave the service. Softly and silently, they walked across the sands in the darkness of midnight to the camp of slumbering Arabs. They were going to surprise them. But the sentinels were on the alert, and they saw a flash of lights and 500 rifles from the Arab encampment poured their bullets on the advancing troops. And there, dead and cold, was the body of the young man who put off the acceptance of Jesus till he would leave the service. What a fatal decision. He never got to leave the service. So Pilate refused to make a decision. Unknowingly, by not making a decision, he made a decision. Not to decide for Jesus is to decide against Jesus. On the other hand, the Jewish rulers, they had no problem in making a quick decision. They did not want Jesus. They would rather be with a well-known sinner, a murderer, than to be with the one who could forgive their sins. They made a fatal decision. They made the wrong choice. Jesus is here today, waiting for you to make a decision. You must all answer the same question that Pilate was asked in Matthew 27. What shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? You must all make a decision. Not to make a decision is a decision. You made your decision. It's a fatal decision. It's the wrong decision. So may you learn today about making the wrong decision. Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the story that we read about Jesus, how important it is for people to make a decision and make the right decision and not make the wrong decision. Pilate was certain that he was safe. He was certain that by washing his hands in front of everybody, that he would be clear. He did not make a decision. Little did he know that he made a decision. He made a decision against Jesus. And if he has not changed that, he is in the lower part of hell today. It is a very serious decision. What am I going to do with Jesus? Every one of you here must answer this question. What are you going to do with Jesus? You have a decision to make. And it could be the last time that it is being asked of you. What will you do with Jesus? And while we are praying and our eyes are closed, our heads are bowed, If you want today to make a decision for Jesus, just raise your hand. The Lord in heaven will see, and I will pray for you. So I see your hand in the back. All the hands I see, the Lord sees. Anyone else? Father, I pray for those people who raised their hands today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would give them the peace that surpasses all understanding, that they would not even understand why they are filled with peace. Today, they made a decision, and it is the right decision. It is a good decision. They decided for Jesus. They raised their hand to you, Father, and you've seen it. And I pray for them that you would watch over them, that you would not allow the evil one to go and mess with them again. They have made their decision. They are for you. They are not against you. Bless them, Lord. Protect them. And bring them in safely into your kingdom, where we will all be forever with you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the 79th Regiment, Glasgow, thought that he was safe. He had not made a decision for Christ, but neither had he made a decision against Christ. And he thought he was safe. There are many, many people in this world today who believe they are safe. They have not made a decision against Christ, but they have not made a decision for Christ. Little do they know that they have made a decision, and it is against Christ. Not to make a decision for him is to make a decision against him. Pilate did not want to make a decision, but he made a decision. His decision was against, was not for him. So make sure that you are not in this situation. Are you not against Christ? Are you for him? What are you going to do with Christ? Tough question, but that's the question that decides where you are going to be for all eternity. With God or not with God. So may the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you who came today to spend time with the Lord, came to worship him. May you be safe. May you make a decision for Christ and not be indecisive. Make the decision before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.